The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow. He does not know how. The earth produces of itself, first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. But when the grain is ripe, at once he goes in with his sickle because the harvest has come." Jesus also said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable will we use for it? It is like a mustard seed, which when sown upon the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs and puts forth large branches, so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." With many such parables, he spoke the word to them, as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them except in parables, but he explained everything in private to his disciples. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
I speak to you in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Last year, I grew the most beautiful, delicate, delicious French beans imaginable. Beautiful green beans are always a treat, but picked fresh out of my own garden and barely warmed through, these beans were crisp and tender, full of fragrance and flavor. A real feast. I let some of those beans go to seed last year and saved the seeds in my top desk drawer in a beautiful little glass bowl. All winter long, I looked at that little bowl of seeds, remembering the sweet taste of summer they promised. I planted them this spring, and every single one of them came up. They're all growing like weeds. As a little girl, I remember poking seeds into Dixie cups full of rich, dark soil. I'd water and watch and lean over those little seeds, whispering, "Grow, grow." Every day I would check, and finally, as if by magic, I would see the split shell on the top of the bean covering a curled stem, and it would poke its head up. It was thrilling. For me, it still is. Put a seed in the soil, and just like magic, it grows into something beautiful. I would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow. I do not know how. Those beautiful black seeds I saved all winter, once planted, seemed a miracle and a mystery being revealed. Parables are like that, mysteries being revealed. Jesus often taught in parables, using the stuff of everyday life to tell the stories of the kingdom of heaven, where justice and mercy and love reign. And if we have ears to hear, those stories are as real today as they were in first century Palestine. Parables work on us and in us. We feel the panic of the shepherd who has lost a precious lamb, or the sacrifice of the widow as she drops her single tiny coin into the church coffers. We smell the yeast that is leavening the bread. We feel the roughness of the patch on the new wineskin and the worn smoothness of the old one. We know the urgency of the neighbor coming to borrow food because unexpected guests have arrived, and we see the luminescence of the pearl so precious we would give all that we have in order to have it. When Jesus speaks in parables, he speaks into our very real lives, where farmers plow, builders build, wedding guests carouse, tyrants make war, and widows stand in for oppressed people everywhere, pleading for justice from arrogant and self-obsessed judges. To tell a parable is to put things side by side. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure, like a pearl, like a net teeming with fish, like a mustard seed. To tell a parable is to invite listeners to ponder something they might never consider given facts. It's like the difference between reading the book or watching the movie. When we watch the movie, we see just what the director wants us to see, everything from the shoes the bad guy is wearing to the particular sorts of clouds in the sky. But when we read the book, so much more is left to our imaginations, and I, at least, am much more likely to see beyond what's right in front of me, to ponder more, and at my own pace. Parables are stories of things that happen to people, but they aren't true in the way facts are true. Parables are not interested in reporting facts. They are interested in curiosity, deep insight, and meaning making. Parables invite us in, asking us to find our place in the story, to consider our own actions and responses to the invitations God offers us. They sometimes speak of ordinary things and sometimes speak of extraordinary things, but they always provoke the question, what does this mean? Listening to Jesus speak in parables brings his first century Palestinian world very close to our contemporary world. And if we have ears to hear, we will hear stories of kingdom living, stories of what the world can be when we come side by side with God. Parables never offer pat answers. I love that. We have to wrestle with them until they give us the blessing they contain. They don't just tell us what to do or what not to do, though they always point toward God, so at least we know the direction we're meant to go in. These two little parables are the only ones we will hear this summer. And on the surface, these little parables seem to be saying that the reign of God will grow like a weed regardless of what we do and no matter how much we know. So where's the mystery and miracle in that? Do these two little parables of God's kingdom coming while we're sleeping tell us just to go back to bed knowing that God will get the work done anyway? I don't think so. The kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow. He does not know how. Sleep and rise, day and night. He does not know how. It's possible to hear that as Jesus saying, you don't need to do anything. You don't need to understand anything. I've got this covered. But I don't think that's what he's saying. I think what he's saying is that we need to do our work and know that God is doing God's work. Our work is to plant and to tend and to know that God will do the growing and the harvesting. We sleep, we rise, we go about the work we've been given to do, and what God does with our work is sometimes a mystery or even a miracle in the big scheme of things. You see, the way God works in the world, the way God uses our work in the world, is a mystery. We do not know how. And that's not to say we should go back to bed or ignore the work. It is to say that we are to be completely and utterly focused on the work God has given us to do. That's the work of scattering the seeds of the kingdom and trusting that God will continue to do what God does, and so God's kingdom will come. We are to do the work God has given us to do and trust God with the outcome. That can be very hard work because we like to be in control. We go to great lengths to be in control. Because when we're not in control, when things feel out of control, we find ourselves feeling very vulnerable, and we do not care for that. Whether it's a pandemic that continues to kill thousands of people, a country torn apart, a scary diagnosis, the loss of a job, the loss of a love, the loss of agency, we don't like being out of control. And we are. God is God, and we are not. We know this, but we don't like to be reminded of it, and we certainly don't like to live it. I think that's what Jesus is telling us. God is God, and we are not. God's kingdom, God's mission will go on miraculously, mysteriously, no matter what we do or don't do. However, what we do or don't do makes all the difference in the world for our own lives. Being co-creators of the kingdom of heaven changes everything. We can hasten the coming kingdom or hinder it, but God's kingdom will come in God's good time. And we don't need to know when or how. There's something very freeing in that. Our work is to scatter the seeds of the kingdom, knowing they will blossom and grow, not because we water and fuss over them. They will blossom and grow because such is the kingdom of heaven. It's inevitable. The earth bears fruit of itself, inevitably. We don't have to plant in the just right places, and we don't need to plant in perfect rows. Just scatter the seeds, Jesus tells us. Plant the seeds, even the tiniest seeds, and then watch what happens. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, but when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and puts forth large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. The tiny mustard seed becomes a huge shrub. Something small becomes something great. It's God's story over and over and over again. God shows up in the most unlikely places, showing us that our strength, our power, our beauty is in the lowliest of places. Not because that's where we choose to take ourselves, but because that is where God chooses to abide. Think about how Jesus came among us. God chose a homeless refugee mother from an occupied country to give birth to God incarnate. We do well to pay attention to the little things. When I was a child, I wore a necklace that held the cross my mama gave me and a little glass globe that held one tiny, perfect mustard seed. That little seed was my inspiration and my reminder that my little mustard seed-sized self was big enough by the grace of God to move mountains. The parable of the mustard seed is a beautiful story. It's an important story, a story to carry in our hearts, especially right now. That tiny mustard seed reminds us that every seed we plant every act of compassion, every kindness, every burst of laughter, every tender touch, every single offering we make to give what God has given us to give can blossom and grow and bring God's kingdom closer. Yes, God is doing God's work. Yes, God is the author. Yes, God is infiltrating the world like a mustard plant, like the backyard blackberries that will take over and will not be tamed no matter what I do. And still, what we do matters deeply. The parable of the seed planted and growing on its own and the parable of the mustard seed really do show us that God's kingdom cannot possibly decline because God is the one doing the growing. And we can partner with God in that mission, or we can abdicate. God's kingdom will grow simply because the seeds have been planted. But I want for us to be co-creators with God, planting kingdom seeds right here where we've been planted. Can we do that? Will we plant those seeds? Will we tend what we've been given? Will we listen for who God is calling us to be? Will we act on what God is calling us to do? Will we do the work of discerning together what only St. Barnabas can offer our community and the wider world? These questions, too, are seeds among us, and I look forward to growing them together. Amen.